broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's another episode of Shirts and Skins with Bucky and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the crap bag tells you how to confront a bear, at least according to what Rutgers is having to tell its students right now. At 12:30, there is influence, and then there's Cristiano Ronaldo influence. And in mere minutes, a running back recruit tests Longhorn fans' threshold for caring about soon-to-be high school juniors. Plus, we have some action from last night's NBA playoffs and a whole lot more. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass today. What's up, Zay? How you doing? And sitting across from me is not the Waxahachie native who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. That's because Chad Hastings is on vacation for just a couple more days. In his place, we have a guy who is a better football coach than he is a predictor of weather, capable of doing a single push-up if you give him long enough. He is one half of Mornings with B&E. It's the great Bucky Godbolt.
God bless America. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
What's up, Buck?
How are you, man?
I'm doing okay. How was the show this morning?
It was well done. It was very exciting. A lot going on. You know, a lot going on this week. Last night, the women's soccer team here in Austin, Q2, got it going on, and there is going to be traffic problems, as we know there would be.
In that area?
Yeah.
Yeah, Breaker and Burnett. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of options in and out of that stadium, yeah, unfortunately.
You only got 5,000, you know, parking spaces. You're going to have to learn how to go over to the, what is that, the mall out there? What is that called?
The Domain?
Yeah, same thing, mall. You're going to have to go to the mall and then figure out a way from the mall, which...
That or the Exxon across the street.
It's kind of like, it's got to be what? I'm thinking six blocks. In my mind, I'm thinking six blocks from the stadium, and there's no way Buck would be walking six blocks. In this weather, no.
It just depends on where you are. And a lot
at the mall, right?
Well, a lot of the parking garages that are closest are really residential garages, so you actually have to have cards to get in. You can go park at the mall, and assuming that you're drinking or eating beforehand, your car is probably okay. But that's a sizable walk. That is not a short walk.
That's not a buck walk, no.
No.
That's called Uber from there to the stadium. Because it's not about that. It's about having to... I don't care about how long it takes Uber dude to get there. I don't care. I'm worried about how long it would take me to get there and where I'd have to park once I got to that area.
Well, all the bike shaws that have been clogging up downtown streets for the last 20 years.
That's what I said this morning. It's time for them to head that way, right?
Can make themselves some coin over there.
Because they haven't been making any lately.
It's going to be tough pedaling, considering that it's like 1,000 degrees outside right now. It's not necessarily uphill or anything. It's just a hot ride that you're having to take. But yep. Uber will benefit. Uber drivers will benefit from making that short drive to Q2.
But will they go? Will they do that? Because this morning we had a debate. No, Uber's not going to do that, take you from there. They'll take you anywhere, right?
They will, but it's just not a cost-effective ride if you're paying for that. You're better off walking because traffic is going to be so bad. What you do is you park, you find a bar in that Rock Rose district, which is not halfway between where you're parking your car and the stadium, but it's at least a little bit closer. For those who drink, get yourselves a little bit lubed up. For everybody else, maybe grab some grub. Maybe grab a coffee from Houndstooth.
And then I could walk your
happy ass over there.
Yeah, no, I could be totally wrong. It may not even be six blocks. It may be four or three, or you can get over there if you're not an old dude like me, 66 years old with a bad back, and does not want to pass out and die in the heat.
I play volleyball over there right behind the Westin. That's
6 weeks sounds about it. Six blocks?
A little bit closer than where you'll be parking. It's probably more like 10 blocks.
Hell no.
Yeah. It is not a short walk.
No, that wouldn't happen. I just thought in the younger days, yeah, that'd be a nice little walk over, have a good time. But still, at 8 o'clock at night around here, still.
Sun is still out at 8 o'clock right now. Like, once we get into later September and October, assuming home games are still going on, then that'll be a little bit more pleasant for the day games, probably, but especially those night games. But right now...
How are we doing with our 100-degree temperatures? I think my predictions have been quite right on, right on. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you told me 2 weeks ago that because of all this rain, we were going to get a mild summer, and here we are.
Don't say the word mild. When I say the word mild, I mean hundreds. It's supposed to be in the 90s. It's Texas.
Here we go.
What are you talking about?
Here we go.
I don't get this. When I say mile, it's compared to when we get 40 days of 100 degrees or 15 days. No, it's mild. It's supposed to be in the 90s now.
I don't want to misquote you here, I'm going to have to paraphrase just a little bit. But okay. It was something to the effect of, yeah, we don't have to worry about 100-degree temperatures this year. Like, it's going to be in the 90s and maybe the mid-90s. It's not going to get into the hundreds, though.
It's
been 100 all week.
What are you talking about?
The average first day of 100-degree weather for this city is like July 9th or something. And here we are in mid-June.
We've had one day. Even at Cape Mulberry, I mean, it is just, I'm telling you, we've had officially one day. So don't try to say that a whole week has been 100 degrees. It has not.
It was 98 and 99, and the humidity is something that would make Houston, Texas, New Orleans, and the Philippines blush. Okay?
Hey, listen, the Almanac can't do anything about humidity. We don't work that way. We only work with the century mark levels. That's all. We don't deal with how humid it's going to be. Is it as humid as Houston? Well, that's your problem. I'm just giving you where it's going to be with the 100-degree temperatures.
Humidity matters when you're talking about things feeling mild. And you're like, get ready because it's going to be a pretty pleasant summer. It's going to be
now you're making it
more
pleasant. I said now it's going from pleasant. I love the way he keeps playing with words, Zay. He keeps going from mild to pleasant. No, it's not going to be pleasant. It's not pleasant when it gets in the 90s. But it's not going to be a bunch of 100-degree days.
Did you guys talk about the decommitment Texas football had? I think it was late last night, maybe.
2023.
Early this morning, yeah.
I don't care.
2023.
No.
I mean, he's one of the top running back recruits in the country. Apparently, he's boys with Arch Manning.
It's Texas.
And he decided to decommit.
It's Texas.
Inside Texas guys, I don't read a whole lot of the other sites nowadays, but the inside Texas guys since the beginning of this one are like, yeah, you know, he committed. That counts for something, but he may have also jumped the gun, so don't be surprised.
Yeah, he's a young guy. He still may come in the end. He's got a couple of years before he really has to commit to anything. He doesn't have to. They say it, and I think they say it too soon. Why do you need to commit to anybody? If you're 2023, what the hell are you committing to?
It's the same reason why you need to put out a top 10 or a top 20.
Yeah, it's
or
way
even
too early.
A top 5.
It's way too early.
It's a little bit of an attention grabber, right?
Well, a little bit.
You're making waves.
Yeah, it's a little bit, and some of them really mean it until they go on another campus, and then they mean it when they get to that campus. So it's early.
Well, part of the problem with the decommitment right now, if you do want to sweat it, if you're a Longhorn fan, and by the way, I'm in the Bucky Godbolt category of don't lose too much sleep over this one. This is a class of 2023 kid about to be a junior. There's a lot of time left. Is that he just took a visit to Austin. He just came to Austin,
right.
And now he decides to decommit.
Well, you get to see and feel the pressure once you get to a place. Just look them all over and then make a decision on what you want to do. Or look at the kid from Alabama who's coming through the portal and all that stuff, too. But he'll be gone by that time. There's a lot of guys that will be gone. He'll make his decision down the road. He doesn't have to. I don't like all that early commitment. Never had that when I coached, so nobody ever really committed that soon. You know what I mean? Nobody did that as juniors. It's just silly. And you're probably to get back, sit with your parents and say, you know what? Let's think about all this. Why are we committed to Texas? This is our first visit. We don't want to do this.
What was your recruitment like that ultimately saw you land at Boston College?
Well, I went to visit. I visited Clemson, Penn State. Mm. Where else did I go? I didn't need a lot because I was from...
Joe Paul was already at Penn State when you would have been visiting there, right?
Yeah. And so was Coach, what's his name?
Oh, did he try and...
No.
Try and show you the showers?
No. And I also had a guy named Wayne Harden because I went to visit, because I'm from, you know, born in Philadelphia, I went and actually visited Temple.
Okay.
I went to... Temple was good. I mean, remember Paul Palmer that used to play at the time?
No, I don't remember that, but okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, but I went to visit... Temple. When I went to Clemson, you know, being from Bethlehem and Bethlehem Steel area in a small town like that, I went to Clemson. There's nothing there but Clemson and a nice stadium. When I went to Penn State, there's nothing in Happy Valley except for Penn State. When I went to Boston and saw the city of Boston, I'm like, so later.
That's where it's at.
All you had to do is take me downtown Boston. I was ready to go. I was ready to get out of small town. You know, plus it was kind of Catholic education again. And I've gone through Catholic education from first grade, so I went through college. I didn't have any nuns or any of that stuff.
You're just a glutton for the Catholic school punishment, huh?
I drank the Kool-Aid all my life.
When did you stop drinking the Kool-Aid? When you got to college?
About being all this Catholic and some of the rigmarole?
Yeah, because I would describe you as religious these days.
No, but I still believe in the Catholic faith. I do. I don't always believe in the Catholic Church and what some of the stuff that they do, but I I still see myself as a Catholic.
Okay.
I do. I mean, I go if somebody gets married. I go if there's a death. I go if there's a wedding. And every once in a while, I'll slide by at Christmas time.
Do you have a rosary at home?
I have a rosary.
That you'll bring with you when you're confessing all your sins at Christmas time?
No, I just go, if I go to the church alone, to a Catholic church, I bring my rosary with me. And I say the rosary, I go through the rosary there. I'm not a Sunday, see you there every Sunday, because I see enough people on Sunday that do their thing on Sunday that act like jackasses on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. So,
oh, you're the jack wagon that just goes for the holidays.
The special ones, special occasions.
The special occasions.
You get
okay.
married in a Catholic church, I'm going. You know what I mean?
All right.
I'm all right with that. I'm not over religious, but I'm not a heathen either. You know what I mean? I'm okay with it.
The unsung hero of this
week. I watch The Robe. Like when Easter comes, I'm going to watch stuff like The Robe.
What is The Robe?
That's an Easter deal. The robe of Jesus. You know, okay. when he was buried and all that kind of stuff, and rose from the dead on the third day. I watch those kind of shows. Moses. You know what I mean? The Ten Commandments, I watch all that. So I'm more religious than a lot of people.
More religious than I am.
Well, that's for damn sure. You're one of the heathens I'm talking about.
Yeah, godless heathen indeed. Did you watch much NBA last night?
I did.
A little bit surprising to see the Hawks pull one out over Philadelphia, considering how much they were down by, and considering the choke job that it took from Joel Embiid to make that happen, Buck.
I can't blame Joel. I mean, I can blame Ben Simmons and Jay's guy, the coach.
Well, Joel was great all the way up until the last couple minutes of the game. He finishes the game 0 for 3 from the field, 0 for 2 from the free throw line.
Yeah, but Ben Simmons never started the game again.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, that dude is supposed to be your number two. Their head coach is now getting into record-breaking time where he's been up by 18 in a playoff game, up by 26.
Oof.
And by the way, what has Doc done lately since he was with the Celtics? Not much.
Okay, all right. Can I play devil's advocate? Because you're okay. saying he's my guy.
He's your guy
which
a little
he's
bit.
Not okay. at all. He's been saying this all day. I don't know why, but he loves to say this.
Your guy.
So going back to the Magic, Grant Hill always hurt. Tracy McGrady always hurt.
It's part of the game, LeBron.
Okay, fuck. Fast forward to Boston. They win a championship. The next year, Kevin Garnett's hurt. The whole playoffs. Then Kendrick Perkins gets hurt the next year. And then the Heatles come. We know what happens there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Move on to the Clippers. Chris Paul. Come on now.
Is he hurt again? We talking about hurt again there, coach?
He's in COVID protocol.
He's always hurt. Now he's in COVID protocol.
And apparently vaccinated, too.
Man, just Ooh. Bad luck.
Bad luck.
Bad luck there. So, Doc Rivers, everywhere he goes,
he hurts guys. He hurts dudes. That's what tells me.
He's like the NBA version of a cooler at a Vegas casino. He steps into a situation and all of a sudden dudes lose their asses.
I don't get that. I don't get that part. Why did he get hurt on his watch?
He just, to your point, Zay, he's just had a string of bad luck up to this point, and now it's not necessarily as much about bad luck as it is one of his superstars wilting under the bright lights of the Eastern Conference semis.
Yeah, you know it's bad when people in the stands are giving you tips.
Oh, I saw that one guy shooting free throws.
On how to shoot and showing you the right form, even Ooh. Though Ben Simmons is left-handed and it's a little different. But yeah, we're at that point with Ben Simmons.
How much longer is Philadelphia going to try this song and dance out? Every offseason,
it's over with,
we hear the conversation where it's, look, these two guys are not going to coexist on the same team.
But it has
and Joel
to do
with, Embiid
it,
has it, been more injury prone, and Ben Simmons is a guy who just has not been consistent enough.
You know, and
he's not a good enough scorer.
I think they're good. I think people get the wrong idea when you say coexist. It's almost like they're not friends. They don't get along, but it's their games don't make it together.
I'm talking strictly on the basketball court. Right. I'm not talking about guys who like or dislike one another.
Yeah, Joel Embiid needs a dude, and that dude plays in Portland. Dame Lillard. He needs badass Dame Lillard in Philly with him. Give away three or four of those 76ers. I mean, give them to Portland, including Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and what's the Curry's name? Which one? I don't want to get it wrong because I keep calling him Del Curry. Call him his dad's name.
Seth.
Seth Curry. No defense playing Seth Curry, who had 30-something last night. Give him those three and some cash. Give me Dame Lillard and Joel Embiid. I think we can win in Philadelphia. By the way, if you want Doc Rivers along with that, you can go ahead and take him because he'll get everybody in Portland hurt, too. So just take him.
There's yes, you're right about that. There's no way in hell you watched the Clippers Utah game. That was on way too late for you, correct?
No.
I know Zay did though. And the last I checked, Zay, because I didn't watch any of this game either, but I was keeping an eye on the score. The last I checked, Utah was up pretty significantly near the end of the third quarter. And I check out the score the first thing this morning when I wake up, and the Clippers end up winning this one by 8. Obviously, without Kawhi Leonard, he may be out an extended period of time at this point with an ACL injury. How did LA pull this one off?
Paul George was incredible. Mm. Like, he went back to Indiana, Paul George. And I told you yesterday on the show that, you know, that's the kind of mode that he's going to have to go back to. And we haven't seen that since he's, you know, really been injured. And since they got Kawhi, he hasn't necessarily had to be that number one guy. But he shows flashes of a number one. And again, he looks like a version of T-Mac out there when he's absolutely cooking. And he was cooking last night. Reggie Jackson played really well. And, yeah, they stole a win in Salt Lake City. And that was a huge one for Ty Lue and the Clips.
So it feels like, gosh, it's hard not to go game to game in the NBA playoffs. But you see these big momentum swings and you just assume it's going to continue. So now it's easy to assume that the Clippers are going to win their next game because it's at home. Same thing for the Hawks right now. Do you feel like both of these series end in six? And if not, which one has the better chance of doing so?
I think both series could go back and go game seven. I do, just because both teams that lost are still very good teams that I think got in a way. The Clippers with Utah, I think Utah was stunned that Paul George was going to perform like that in the lineups that Ty Lue was throwing out there, because they were going small and they were forcing Rudy Gobert to step out to the three-point line and they were abusing him. And then if you go over to the Hawks-Philadelphia series, Joel Embiid, who has that slight meniscus tear, they're putting him in a lot of pick and roll where Trae Young is coming off that, you know, screen hot. And that's just a lot for Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter, who's pretty fatigued throughout the whole playoffs. So both teams are taking advantage of their, you know, lack of height. And, yeah, I still think that, you know, with Donovan Mitchell on Utah and with, you know, Joel Embiid and Doc, even though y'all have been hating on Doc all day, I think they could get it done and both teams can send it back for game sevens. Well,
you know, Zay, they should get it done. They got the better team, with the exception of a little dude from Norman, Oklahoma, who is outstanding, who is just a phenomenal player.
Trae Young, yeah. He's got incredible vision. His passing vision was so obvious when he was playing in college. And, you know, obviously he's going to make the most highlights as a scorer and his ability to shoot. You know,
he can score.
Poor man Steph Curry. But his passing ability should not be underestimated.
Well, I you know, when anytime I go back to old man basketball or football or any sports, when I talk about it, it just seems that in the NBA today, there are guys that can come out of nowhere and score 36, 38. There are bench players that do that. And back in the day, it was either going to be Michael, Isaiah, you know, Bird. You knew who was going to be the scorers.
Mm-hmm.
And the other cast members were going to score 12, 14. But the other guys weren't scoring 28, 30. They weren't letting that happen. If coaches are not smart enough in the NBA right now to understand that, okay, so Paul George is by himself, and you take that game for granted that they still can't win, and that's on you. That's kind of dumb. I mean, you got to make sure that he's the next guy who can really, really hurt you, you know, Zay, and hurt you bad. And if you take it for granted and say, well, Kawhi's not there, our team is now better than their team, let's just move on, then that's kind of bad coaching. I think you got to treat the next guy in line, because most teams have two really good superstars, except for the Sixers. They go from Joel Embiid to an okay guy to Tobias Harris, and that's not enough to win. And I'm now starting to lean more towards Atlanta than I am the 76ers.
Mm. Yeah, one way you know Utah took it for granted, Buck, is that this whole series, Joe Ingles has been guarding Paul George.
Yes.
When Kawhi's on the floor. Last night, Royce O'Neal was guarding Paul George for whatever reason. I know Kawhi's not on the court, but I don't know what's wrong with Joe Ingles. Keep him on Paul George.
Right.
Like, maybe psychologically he has an advantage or something to where Paul George just, you know, can't get by him, or he just can't score on them as easy as he took Royce O'Neal, which he was killing them all night last night.
Right. It's just like we're, as we talked the other day, guys, it's like when you, if you're letting guys get off, how do you let that happen? You know, how do you let Kevin Durant go for, why isn't your best player on your team, who's a defensive player of the year,
forcing the ball out of his hands, double team him, have multiple guys going at him, try different defensive strategies, do something.
Well,
versus just sit back and let it
happen. Why are you just putting your best player on him, period? Why is your best player going, I don't think I want to cover Kevin, maybe the embarrassment, maybe too much, maybe he can score 50 on me. Well, if you're the best player and you're a defensive player of the year and been that way and you're the franchise guy at 7 foot, you have to say, I'm going to cover him, no matter what the coach says. You're going to have to go to the group in the huddle and say, that coach has not put me on him, but I'm taking him, you take him. That's the way the NBA, right? Because the players run the league. The players run the team.
That's a good question. Trey, how do you feel about that? Because Buck and E, they both think that, like you said, Buck, players run the team.
Right.
So they should just be able to say, you know what, I'm guarding him. F the philosophy you're going with, coach, whatever you were, you know, the big ass, you know, scouting report that all the assistants wrote up. We're going against that. I'm taking this.
Would you be mad, Trey? I'm not mad if a player, like,
if I have a leader or one of my top defensive players say, look, let me guard this person, I would have no issues with that as a head coach or as an assistant coach, because you do want your leaders and you want your guys to step up and confidently take on challenges.
But what if your coach said, no, that's not what I want. This is what we're going to play. This is what we do.
He
took that upon himself to say, no, guys, I'm taking this guy. We can't have Kevin Durant cut our throats. I am the leader. To me, it's just the way the NBA is.
Well, we had
those guys. Do I get mad at the guy, or do I say, well, you should be listening to the coach? In this instance, I have to go with the player saying, I want him.
We have an example of that that was a talking point last summer during the Last Dance documentary, where Gary Payton went to George Karl and said, let me guard Michael Jordan. And George Karl was reluctant to do so at first. And ultimately, he stepped back and let Gary Payton do that. But to start that series, he wasn't letting a guy who was year in and year out known as the
club, yeah,
best perimeter defensive player in the entire damn league. He was not letting him do his thing against Michael freaking Jordan. And it cost them, I would argue that Seattle had the best chance to beat any of those Bulls teams. It cost them the chance to actually get that done. George Karl, his ego overriding the best defensive player on the perimeter in basketball.
Well, I don't want to blame the coach for the Bucks. I'm looking at the player. I'm looking at Giannis. I'm thinking, you really don't want to cover KD, do you? You really don't want that action. That's the thing, because you have the ability to say to the head coach, I need to cover him for our team's sake. You got to trust that I'm going to D this guy up. You just have to do that. If you're the true leader, like you say, you're a defensive player, one of the defensive players of the year for a couple years in a row. You don't, if you in your mind don't want to cover KD, then you got a little chicken something going on.
He is Bucky Godbold, Isaiah Collier behind the glass as well. I promise we're not going to talk a whole lot more NBA here. Coming up on the other side, we will talk about one of Buck's all-time favorite dudes, a man crush, if you will, and just the crazy amount of sway that he has from just shuffling a couple of bottles around. You're listening to Shirts and Skins, minus Chad Hastings today on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Back here on Shirts and Skins, no Chad Hastings today or the rest of the week. He will be back on Monday in his place for the first couple of hours of today's show as Bucky Godbold. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass. Who is this, eh?
Bobby Cardwell.
This is smooth.
Oh, yeah, that was back in the good day there.
Yeah?
Yeah, there were a lot of individual singers that have left the individual, that had some really good stuff.
What do you mean by back then, like 1970s?
70s, early 80s, that had a couple hits, but they just kind of disappeared and started writing songs.
Mm.
You know, just got away. Babyface, you know what I mean? He was a great singer, and then poof, I'm done. I just want to write songs. I don't want to perform anymore.
Did you have any man crushes back in the 1970s?
Like on people besides Carole King and people that...
Well, Carole King is a woman. I mean, were there any dudes that you really looked up to like you do one Cristiano Ronaldo?
No.
No?
Nothing like this. Nothing like this crush.
Did this crush formulate?
When he first started his career. When he was scoring
some
at
more
will.
Than a decade ago.
And almost scoring at will, which even today he can still score, but he doesn't have quite the burst that he did. He's a bigger player. He's a thicker guy than when he first came in, just like any other professional league.
Well, you have to reinvent yourself if you're going to stick around long term. And perhaps getting thicker works in soccer. We've seen other sports where guys have gotten thinner, like LeBron. I don't think he went all the way no carb. He went low carb or something like that. Tom Brady obviously does a TB12 diet. Those guys are skinnier versions of what they were in their late 20s and early 30s.
Right.
And they've been able to sustain success.
Ronaldo has the ability to hold you off because his physique, he can, you know, he's not like Messi. Messi is all about the foot and getting off the shot. Ronaldo is all about, he can just maneuver you the way he wants you to be maneuvered around and get his shot off. And, I mean, that's what I've kind of liked about him. He's a physical, you know, not only a scorer, he's a physical specimen, what I'm saying.
He's a good-looking dude. I can say that. I can look at that guy and say, yeah, he's a good-looking dude.
See that, Zay? I'm not the only one.
Zay can admit it.
No, Zay's not going to admit that. He's not going to say a soccer player is a good-looking
Cristiano
dude.
Cristiano Ronaldo, good-looking guy?
Yeah.
See? He just admitted it. Who's your man crush?
Oh, man. Probably Morris Chestnut.
Morris
Deez
Chestnut?
Nuts.
Okay. No.
He's nuts.
Wow.
What did he say?
Insulting the great Morris Chestnut.
Who's that?
He's an actor.
Ricky, Boys in the Hood.
Oh, okay.
Ricky!
I got you. Of course, mine is Johnny Depp, so.
Johnny Depp?
If I were white, I would be Johnny Depp.
If you were white, you would be Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
You would look like Johnny Depp?
I would be Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
If I were white, I would be Johnny Depp.
You would
call me Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is so pretty, he could pass off as a woman no problem.
I'm not trying to be that, okay? Don't make me have to say this to the people, because I'm not.
Johnny Depp's a bit of a train wreck, too. You sure you'd be Johnny Depp?
And I'm not a bit of a train wreck. Think about it. Think about what you're saying.
You're not a bit of a train wreck. You were a while back, but you've gotten your ish together.
Okay. I like Johnny Depp. I always like Johnny Depp.
So the reason why we're talking about man crushes, and specifically Cristiano Ronaldo, is because this dude has an insane amount of influence. Whatever influence you think you have, Buck, or Zay has, or I have, and I really don't have any influence even in my own household.
I'm going to agree with you.
Ronaldo trumps all of us.
It's amazing.
He literally caused the value of Coca-Cola to plummet by $4 billion. I think this was yesterday when he moved a couple of bottles around. He was appearing at a presser for Euro 2020. There was some Coca-Cola in front of him, which the hell is drinking Coca-Cola?
And playing soccer and running around anyway.
Playing soccer, yes. Nobody. It's just a stupid attempt for ad placement there, Coca-Cola. But Ronaldo didn't want to have any of that. He wanted to put some water in front of him. And so he asked for it. And there is literally a pinpoint.
It's amazing.
That you can watch Coca-Cola's value plummet on, I think, the stock market, going from $56.10 per share to $55.22.
Costing Coca-Cola?
Their value went from $242 billion to $238 billion.
God, because the guy moved a couple bottles to the side.
$4 billion. Now, in the past, Ronaldo has said, occasionally my son drinks Coca-Cola or Fanta and eats crisps, and he knows I don't like that.
Uh-oh.
Is what he said.
So now, he's not going to have it in front of him.
He's not going to have it in front of him. He doesn't want him in front of him. He doesn't want to be associated with that stuff. I have no issues with that. Especially nowadays, as we see so many athletes peddling crap that they know is bad for them, and they know is bad for the kids who look up to them. Like, think of all the athletes who advertise for, like, McDonald's or Coca-Cola or Sprite or all of these other...
Or Chris Paul for State Farm.
Chris Ball for State Farm. I have less of an issue with that.
He and Jake.
Those are funny commercials.
Yeah.
The ones that Pat Mahomes does too.
Yes.
Even Aaron Rodgers. As much as I despise Rodgers. Aaron freaking Rodgers, yeah. He's had a couple of amusing State Farm commercials. So no issues with Cristiano Ronaldo. Not wanting the Coca-Cola in front of him. And if it costs Coke $4 billion, guess what? That's temporary.
That's
Coca-Cola
true.
Will be just fine.
Yes.
Guess what? The fact that we and probably every other sports show in the country has been talking about it
proves
that Coca-Cola will be just fine.
By the way, the same people that make Coca-Cola make DeSante water.
They do.
So that kind of surprises me that they wouldn't be smart enough to put their water out in front instead of a couple of Coke cans. Doesn't it make more sense to put DeSante water in front of you if you're from the same company? That makes more sense than two cans of Coke.
Yeah, I mean, it's all connected to the Coke stock price.
Right.
I don't disagree with you there. Is it wrong?
If I get on Twitch here, since I'm off of Twitch right now, this Gatorade, I can make Gatorade move.
You covered up the Twitch camera, huh?
But you can see. Well, it's the afternoon. I don't have my Johnny Depp makeup on right now. See,
let me see the Gatorade bottle.
See what you can do for Gatorade if you have Gatorade right there.
First of all, if you're going to drink Gatorade, people, make a better decision than Bucky has.
Oh, here we go. Should I have 0.00 Gatorade?
No, drink the lemon lime or drink the.
This is one of the
fruit
originals.
Punch. It is one of the originals. It's the worst of the originals. And I say that as a guy who typically liked orange flavors as a fat kid.
I forgot you play volleyball. You would know about drinking Gatorade.
Can I ask
and
you guys,
Gatorade Bash.
Can I ask you guys something? If this is something I should be proud of or something that is a little bit disappointing for me as a parent, my 6 and 4-year-old, other than water, milk, and Calvin, who occasionally insist on taking very tiny sips of alcohol. So we'll give him like tiny sips of beer and wine to get him to not like it. Hasn't worked so far. He actually tried sake last night. It was like, it's good, Dad. So I'm a failure there. But they've never had a soft drink before in their life.
Are you a failure?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Or is it really neither?
To me, it's the same thing as whether it's drugs or alcohol. If you've never had alcohol before, you don't know what it's like to get drunk. And why would you? So to me, it's like, when people say, I've never had a drink before, I never look at that and say, well, you never tried it. I'm thinking, what's the big deal? Now that I'm sober, there is no big deal to it. If you've never had it and you don't do it, there's really no big deal to it.
Well, they're going to reach a point where they'll be making the decisions on their own. And they're going to have Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper or whatever else.
Yeah, there may not be anything else to drink. They may be someplace.
Just trying to avoid getting it all in their bloodstream when they're young enough for us to make those decisions for them.
Sure.
Zay?
You're the parents.
Yeah, you're a good father.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You do what you want.
I appreciate that, guys.
I don't tell you how to raise your kids unless I catch you in the store grabbing a kid by the arm and twisting him around and throwing him around because he's not behaving the right way. I tried that once and got a lesson in that, too.
What do you mean?
I was in HEB, and this lady jerked her kid's arm so hard twice. I said, how would you like to have your arm jerked like that? And she said, how would you like to stay out of my business with my kids? And I said, you know what? You got a point there, lady. You did. She was right. Who am I to jump into business?
No,
I only thought a kid was getting hurt. That's
no,
all I thought.
You do call somebody out who is engaging in child abuse in public.
I don't know.
Here's the reason why it is your business. Because she's making your business by acting like that in public. There are two extremes when it comes to parenting. And there's a lot of gray area where mm-hmm. plenty of us operate and we have our successful moments and we have our moments of failure. But there are those who are just outright negligent, who don't give an S what their kids are doing and let them run roughshod on the rest of the general public. And there are those who are so hard up to control their children, like what sounds like this lady was, that she's committing a form of child abuse.
Well, to her,
and it may not be as overt as smacking the kid in the face.
Correct.
But if she's pulling the arm so hard that it's leaving bruise marks on his upper arm, or maybe pulling his arm out of socket.
I just thought the two jerks that the lady did, I had to say something because I thought that was harmful. But the lady was also right. That's not my business. That's her business. That's her family. Why am I getting involved in your family? And when she said that to me, I said, you know what? You're right. Now, it calmed that whole situation down. She didn't do it anymore. So maybe I was doing the right thing by that. Or who knows what she would have did to the kid. But you basically, trying to raise somebody else's kid, that's their business. That's not my child. And the kid wasn't bleeding. The arm didn't come out of the socket. That's me taking it upon myself to think that I need to tell this lady how what to do with her own kid. And I've never done that. I've never done that again. I mean, I've seen instances where I like to say something. And I, by the way, me saying something probably isn't as bad as I think.
No, it's
why
not.
Why can't I say something?
You took the high road whenever she reacted to you the way she did. But guess what? She probably also did not do for at least the rest of the trip to that HEB.
She's beat
probably,
that kid's ass?
Probably beating the hell out of him when they get out of the HEB.
I'll teach you to do that in front of that guy.
She wasn't complicit in mild child abuse in public for the rest of that time. Now, she may have spanked him or slapped him when they got to the car, but she at least stopped it in public, thankfully.
Yeah.
And hopefully she thought twice before the next time she actually, you know, considered wanting to do so.
And then again, so did I, before I ever get in somebody else's business. I really did.
That's true.
You know?
He is Bucky Godbolt. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass. They're helping me out because Chad Hastings is on vacation for a couple more days. Coming up in a few minutes, yeah, Chad's gone, but the crap bag continues on. And the crap bag has to let you know how you should confront a bear, according to Rutgers University and the advice they're giving their own students, because there is a freaking bear on campus. You're listening to Shirts and Skins here on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Back here on Shirts and Skins, no Chad Hastings today or tomorrow. He will be back on Monday. In the meantime, I'm welcoming a bunch of different co-hosts into the studio all week long. Bucky Godbolt has been nice enough to join me a couple of times, including today. Isaiah Collier has been the steady presence behind the glass, actually co-hosted with me for the first hour of yesterday's show. Tomorrow,
and you've had the great one, too. Let's not.
The great Jeff Ward was also on yesterday from 2 to 3. Talked a lot of things, including ERCOT. He pissed a lot of people off by saying that the NIL law that has just been signed by Texas and is about to be in place in a number of other states may not be as good as people think it's going to be for a lot of college athletes. Do highly recommend you go check out all of those conversations at hornfm.com. And stay tuned, because tomorrow, my co-host for the first 2 hours is Justin Wells of Inside Texas.
Well, if you're going to have Coach Wells, you might as well just as well have me.
If you want to come in, you're welcome to.
Because we think alike.
If you want to come in, you're welcome to. That'll make my job a whole lot easier.
There's not a chance in hell on Friday I'm coming back in here with you.
I didn't think so. I actually tried to get Mike Leach today give you an early hour off, but unfortunately,
you know, I'll do anything, I can call Bob Stoops to come on with you and talk a little bit.
I've got Stoops' number.
I'm surprised you haven't called him. He hadn't been a guest on with you.
I've had him on previously to talk about his book. I know he's about to be doing a lot more commentating because he's a part of that Fox broadcast
that?
Now.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right gig for him, week in and week out. He'll probably be okay. I mean, people respect him as a coach, obviously. I just don't know if he's...
And he may have a different personality.
I don't know if he has the charisma.
I think he may. I think he may surprise a lot of people on how funny he can be. You know, I've been friends with Bobby Jack Wright for a long time that's worked with Coach Duke. He said, you would totally be surprised if you've ever run a golf course with him, you'd find out he's not like you think he is. A lot of people aren't like it. If you spend 5 hours on a golf course, that's why so many deals are made, you know, business-wise, between men and women on golf courses, because in a matter of 4 or 5 hours, you can find out all you need to know about somebody in a golf setting, how aggressive they are, how competitive they are, how non-competitive they are, how easy they'll quit. You know what I'm saying? That's one sport that will bring out everything in everybody, and you'll find out about them. Whether you want to make a deal with them, whether you want to be really true friends with them. Golf is the greatest place in the world for deal making, I believe.
Rick Riley wrote a really interesting book on Donald Trump a couple years ago, and the genesis of the book is what you were just talking about, that you can tell a lot from somebody about how they conduct themselves on the golf course. So he basically went back through Trump's history on the golf course, and of course he was not a big fan of Trump as president, as a lot of people were not, but he pointed out a number of examples that show just how manipulative and how untrustworthy Donald Trump was as a golf course owner and player, and how that translated to other aspects of his life.
Well, look at the people that you play golf with. It's whether it's true or not, a lot of parts of your character come out on a golf course.
So Texas cheaters?
They're absolutely creepy. That's a creepy bunch.
But you play with them.
I play with them.
So you're a creep too?
No.
I
try to help them along the way. I'm there to support them and guide them as a mentor to the way they play.
Oh, you're the angel on the left shoulder, huh?
No, I don't kick balls out of there, and I don't say this is my ball when it's not my ball. I don't hit a ball a half mile in the woods and then say, I got it. I always love that one.
You're not pulling out the foot wedge, which doesn't count as a shot?
No, man. I used to play with Donnie Little all the time, and Donnie Little never lost the ball.
Mm.
The quarterback, you know, the wonderful quarterback that played for the University of Texas, if you've ever played golf with him, that guy could hit a ball so far into the woods. And then in a matter of 3 or 4 minutes, you hear, I got it. I got it. Oh, it's right here. I'm like, dude, you've got to lose a ball one time, right? How can you not lose a ball? How can you find your ball every stinking time?
Oh, man.
That was Donnie. And so we still have that. We still say that on the course. Hey, Donnie, you got the ball? Yeah, I got it.
Wait, is he a member of the Texas Cheaters?
No, but we still refer back to Donnie.
Oh, okay.
There's a saying.
Oh, you'll say, hey, Donnie, you got your ball.
Yeah, exactly. You're
talking about somebody else.
Yes.
Pull the Donnie, I got
you. You pulled another Donnie on us? Yes.
Did you watch any of the women's national team's match against Nigeria last night?
I did.
I watched the first ever official match at Q2.
I watched up to the first goal, and then that was it for me. It was time to go zonk out. I thought it was a great atmosphere there. I thought it was beautiful. We've been waiting. I've got two daughters that are soccer players. So this is something that's kind of big. And it's big to the soccer community, those that are involved in soccer here. So I was good with it. BK and I are the two who said they shouldn't be playing on that field first. That belongs to FC. They should have waited it out. But that's like rock stars. That women's team is the best, not in the nation. They're best in the world. And so, yeah, give them an opportunity to play there. And plus, for women's sports, that's huge. That was huge last night for around here and young girls that like to play the game of soccer. I think it was wonderful. And when you look at that soccer stadium, it's so tight. It's so, you know, you think of big places like Wimbledon Stadium when they play, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Wembley. I'm just saying Wimbledon. Wembley. When you play soccer in places like that, you're so far away. But Q2, it's like being at a ping pong match. I mean, you're right there. And there's every seat in the house you can see. The vantage points are good. You know, it's good. It was a good thing last night. We'll see. But one thing for Austin FC, you have to start winning games. And we talked to Glenn Davis today. I said, Glenn, they have to be offensive-minded. They can't be a defensive team in game one and go nil-nil or 1-0. They have to take chances. Win, lose, or draw, this team Saturday has to take chances. Whether they get beat 4-0 or they win 4-0, it can't come out of here nil-nil.
Well, that's
in game one.
That's soccer, though.
Take more chances.
Okay.
For the first game, right?
So either get blown out or do the blowing out.
Absolutely.
Let some goals happen so people aren't yawning as we get to the end of the match.
They're not going to let them happen. It's going to happen. If they get too aggressive, it's going to happen. So.
Okay. Well, the reason why I'm asking about the women's national team is because Megan Rapinoe, who may be the most famous of the women's players right now, just signed a new deal with a company that we're all aware of as that company tries to pivot in a different direction. We'll tell you about that coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, though, even though Chad is not here, the crap bag must live on.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Crap bag sponsored by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com, 255-8678. So you did not take an official visit to Rutgers when you were deciding where to play your college ball. Have you ever been to the Rutgers campus, though?
I have. When I coached at Boston College, I've been around the campus. Yes.
Nice campus?
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
New Brunswick, New Jersey?
Yep.
Apparently, it's so nice that bears are now starting to gather on campus.
Must be coming from the Poconos in Pennsylvania or something.
That must be it. But this has become such a thing where there's at least one bear that has been seen multiple times over the last few weeks at Rutgers that school officials are having to offer up warnings and advice to their students on what to do if you encounter this bear, I should say.
Sounds like it's time to go bear hunting to me.
Zay, do you have any guesses, or I guess what would you do if you happened upon a bear? Let's say you were taking a hike through the Greenbelt here, and a bear is just in the path. What's your next move after you spot that bear?
It's my time to go.
What, are you just going to try and wrestle the thing? You're just going to run at it?
Yeah, like Leo, Revenant.
Oh, that did not turn out well for Leo. That did not turn out well. No. I'm pretty sure that bear awed him.
He survived, right?
You're not going to survive that brutal beating that he took in real life.
Academy Award, whatever. Yeah.
That beating that he took, most likely you don't survive that one.
Bucky, what would you do if you just happened upon a bear out on your property where there's
where
a lot
live,
of woods out, obviously?
I'd call my wife and push her out front.
Oh, man. You're human shielding, human shielding Joyce?
She tastes a lot better than me. I guarantee you that.
You are a lot of skin and bones.
No.
It's like trying to eat an Asian carp or something out of the
That's
Illinois
what I'm saying.
River.
Her, tasty treat, push her out in front. I'll move on.
So this is a brown bear, which is the more dangerous of the bears. Black bears are more scared of us than we are of them. They'll usually run in the other direction.
Yeah, we don't see very many grizzlies around here, so around there in New Jersey.
Rutgers is telling its students, they sent out an email earlier this week that said, look, we asked the New Jersey Division of Fish and Wildlife what to do. So here's our bear safety tips if you happen to encounter this bear on campus. First, never feed or approach a bear. I wish I could say, well, duh, but I've seen videos of people who are trying to feed bears that are like hanging out on picnic tables. Bad idea. You're just asking for a swipe.
True.
If not to be eaten altogether. Remain calm if you encounter a bear. Do not run from it. Because if you run, the bear looks at you as its prey. And bears can run faster than humans. Make the bear aware of your presence by speaking in an assertive voice, singing, clapping your hands, or making other noises. If you're having to sing a song to a bear, which song are you going with here?
Who, me?
Yeah, you, Zay, whoever else. If you're listening right now, Specs text line 337-3776.
Huh, interesting. I don't know. I wish it would rain. I mean...
And here's the other thing that you have to consider, and this is the piece of advice that I would treat as seriously as any of this. Avoid direct eye contact, which may be perceived by a bear as a challenge.
Dude, I'm not looking eye to eye with a bear at any given time anyway. I was in Alaska, of course. I've taken 3 Alaskan trips. I've been in Alaska. I've been in Juneau, all those different ports of call in Alaska. And I was told by the ranger in Alaska that some of these things that people are telling you about, don't run from a bear. He said, what you need to do if a bear comes is to run.
The Alaska guys told you
the
that?
The Alaska guy said,
no.
Here's what you don't. Don't stand there and act like you're calm.
No.
He said, if the bear approaches you and a bear starts sniffing on you, here's what a bear is going to do. He's going to sniff you, and then he's going to sample you. And the minute he samples you, you're going to scream. And the minute you scream, he's then going to eat you. Your best bet, if you see a bear, is to actually run. Because they will come up, smell you, and a bear biting you, and you say to you in your forearm, you're probably going to scream, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to hurt. That is going to hurt.
And then he's going to finish his meal.
That's why you don't let it get to that point. That's why you avoid contact. You're singing a song, but you're also slowly backing away.
Something like with Uncle Remus or something? I don't think so.
You're just trying to act like, I don't know, what's another creature in the forest that a bear's not necessarily going after because it's more interested in the salmon in the river. You're acting like a deer or something, just slowly backing away.
Should I get on
singing,
all fours?
Row, row, row
and
your
be accosted
boat.
By the bear?
Gently all the way. I'm not looking you straight in the eyes, bear. I'm just slowly backing away. All I'm trying to do is go to my Math 101 at Rutgers, Engineering 201. I'm not trying to get you pissed off at me, bear.
Can we basically just get a couple park rangers to go shoot this bear on the Rutgers campus instead of... Are we now going to be in tune with nature on the campus with the bear?
You'd like to think that they at least have Trank guns around there right now and have people on call ready to go tranquilize this bear to get it the hell out of there.
Close to New York, everybody's carrying.
That's New Jersey.
Well,
which
right down the road.
Is, everybody is carrying in New Jersey.
Yes, that's right. Even more so than New York.
Exactly.
You're right.
All right, that is the crap bag for today, sponsored by Audiovisual Consultations. Tom McKay just came in studio during that segment and
fondled
you.
Me. He fondled me.
He did grope you. That is inappropriate in some offices.
I'm going to HR right now.
Not this one, though. He is Bucky Godbold, Isaiah Collier behind the glass, Chad Hastings on vacation. This is Shirts and Skins on the Horn.